Here is Rick Smith.
So again, on day 2AT, one of the really good things about Trump being gone is billionaire Betsy's gone too. And maybe we get an education secretary who's actually going to put some value in public education and push back against the division of our education system and pursuing all of these gimmicks and these profit motives. And for me, cyber charters are right up there with some of the biggest gimmicks. And fortunately, I think, so many people going through this pandemic, having their kids, on these platforms, trying to do the best of what we can. I think some of the major flaws of the system are becoming apparent to everybody. And I'm hoping on the other side, we do something to rein the waste, fraud, and abuse back in. And here to share some thoughts on, how do we fight back against the rise of these cyber charters? And also, in the age of pandemic with budgets about to crash, how are we going to fund our public schools? And here to share some thoughts, I've asked Susan Spica to come talk with us. She's the Executive Director of Education Voters of Pennsylvania. Susan, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me to come on, Rick.
So, I got to tell you, I was never a big online, school fan, never a big cyber charter guy. Now that I've had to have my kids doing this for the last year, almost now, I really don't like it.
Right. I think families are getting kind of like a firsthand look into the amount of time that parents need to spend with students when they are learning at home on a computer. There's no magic bullet, right? So like cyber charter schools can have bells and whistles. They can give you a computer. They can have any learning platform that money can buy. But ultimately, teaching and learning is about relationships between students and teachers and between students and their people in their schools, their other school staff members, between students, so building relationships. And it's also about accountability. And I think a lot of parents have come to understand that when there is a teacher in a classroom, that teacher is holding students accountable for doing their work. And I think elementary school teachers, to me, are like probably the most underpaid people who have the most important jobs that exist in our nation, because they take all these little kids who are bundles of energy, who maybe don't want to sit down and do their work, and they can, in very kind and nice ways, get them from the beginning of a school year where maybe they're in kindergarten, they don't even know a letter, to by the end of the year, they're reading. And it's because they're in the room, they're holding them accountable, and they're building relationships, making kids feel good, and that's what education is about. And I think, you try to do that over a computer, and it works for a very small number of kids, but for most kids, it just doesn't work.
No, and it's what I've said all along, the homeschooling thing and the cyber charter thing work if you have really motivated parents who are going to stay on top of it. And look, there are some people who do it really, really, really well. And I give them credit for being able to do it. The vast majority of people, they've got to go to work. They've got, 1,000 other things that have to be done. And while, they think their kids' education is extremely important, the day-to-day life catches up and you fall behind. And we end up, doing basically what we're trying to do now, just to hold on.
Right. And I think I give parents so much credit for doing what we have to do right now with all this remote learning from school districts. And I think, I can speak from experience. My daughter's teachers have been extraordinary in figuring out how to take what they used to do in a classroom and shift it to being online. It's fine. I think it's okay to patch kids through with this for a short period of time for an emergency. But I think families that have gotten a taste of this are going to probably be really, really happy when this does not have to be the way of life for their kids. And the other thing I think people are going to realize is that, when kids get back to regular school and we're back in and teachers can kind of assess what students have learned, we're going to find some learning loss just because of the pandemic. And we're going to find it in traditional public schools. But that type of learning loss occurs constantly for students who are enrolled in cyber charter schools, because their families have chosen to enroll them in cyber charter schools. kids go in cyber charter schools. And again, there's like a small group of students who thrive, but the vast majority of them just fall further and further and further behind. And I think we can all understand that because it's really, really hard to keep up with all this kind of work when you've got a kid in a screen, no matter how good your teacher is on the other end.
No, you're absolutely right. And I remember, I think, as you were talking, I'm thinking back, several years, it's probably been about 10 years. They were called the Frontier Virtual Cyber Charter out of Philadelphia. And I remember at the time going, how is it that, 52 parents signed their kids up for, this virtual cyber charter school and never got the laptops that they were supposed to get, never got the internet access, never got the printers and scanners and all of the things that you're supposed to get to ensure that the student is able to participate, how they allowed that to not happen. And how this company that was administering this got away with it for as long as they did was just beyond me. And now I'm seeing how easy it can be to let, days, weeks, months get away from you. And now I kind of have a different appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's a lot. It's a lot. And I think, when our kids get back into school, our teachers will get our kids caught back up. There's going to be some remediation. They will come together. They will figure it out. Our kids will be fine. But kids who spend year after year after year in cyber charter school, the vast majority of them just fall further behind. And, a significant number of them never even graduate from high school. So they leave a traditional public school, they go to a cyber charter school, and then they just disappear. That is not good for those kids, and that is not good for Pennsylvania.
No, you're right. But here's the thing. You said the kids are going to be fine. I got to question that because, I'm thinking this last year, I think, most kids will probably be fine, kids of means. And I think my kids are going to be okay. I think they're going to fall back a little bit, but I think, they're able, I think they're in a position where, we can help them move and move and get what they need. I fear that so many of the kids who, maybe come from disadvantaged backgrounds, single parent homes where, one of the parents always working, I fear that they've just lost this year. And I worry that, some of the studies that I've read over the years that, if you lose a kid by third grade, you never get them back. So I'm worried about those kids who maybe we don't get back.
Well, we just got the second round of federal aid that will be allocated to school districts. Pennsylvania got $2.2 billion, and all of that is going to go out through the Title I formula. So it will be designated to go to the schools that educate the students who have the highest needs, the students who are living in poverty. And so I think the hope is that this funding is enough that it will kind of cover the costs of what school districts have had to cope with this year, their increased costs that are COVID-related. Hopefully it will help cover the cost of the lost local revenue. And then we're going to have to count on our school leaders and kind of hopefully hold them accountable for looking at the student learning loss and finding ways to help students get that back. And I think that if we get another federal aid package, like President Biden has proposed, I think that, school districts in Pennsylvania are good and they will work very, very hard to get kids who have lost a lot this year, get them caught back up.
You brought up the President Biden and obviously the new administration. Do you have any thoughts on the incoming Secretary of Education?
I think we should all just be thrilled and feel really optimistic that we are going to now have a federal government that is going to be focused not on how to take as much money as possible out of our public schools, but instead a Secretary of Education who cares about kids, who cares about diversity, who understands equity, and who will be focused on ensuring, that kids, especially vulnerable kids, get the resources that they need. So I think it's really exciting. It's been a long 4 years.
It most certainly has been that. But, this coming summer, I'm expecting a huge battle here in Harrisburg over, obviously, a state budget with a state that's seen diminished revenues coming in because of the virus. As you've said, there's some money coming in from the federal government. But I see the Republicans pushing to slash state contributions to education and that being a battle. What are you seeing as possible?
So I think that Republicans learned the lesson when Tom Corbett was a one-term governor that Pennsylvanians love their public schools and that voting to slash funding from the public school systems that they represent is not something that their constituents are going to accept. So I actually feel fairly confident that we're not going to see cuts in state funding. And I have to say, Governor Wolf has been very focused on ensuring that, you know, he's doing his best with the legislature he has to work with to ensure that we start to get turnaround Pennsylvania school funding system. And I think that he cares deeply about equity. And I would be I'm very confident that he will make a proposal to try to, like, get more funding into the school districts that have the fewest resources for students. So I actually expect Governor Wolf to put forth a pretty robust proposal for school funding that will actually increase state funding this year. And then the legislature is going to have to make some decisions about their priorities. Governor Wolf's priority is in making sure kids have what they need. And if the legislature doesn't want to do that, then they're going to have to make some decisions about, you know, what they're willing to cut.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's an increase because, look, as we've been talking about, there's going to be a remediation process that's going to happen to get people up to speed. Because the fear is that, and I worry about this with my kids because I've got my youngest daughter just entered sixth grade. My son just entered ninth grade. This is the first year in their new buildings. My fear is that they've fallen backwards, and as they progress into their years, that they don't catch up, and that their opportunities, to advance, aren't as good as they would have been otherwise. And so I'm thinking in ways of, how do we do mass remediation? Do we expand the school year? Do we expand the days? Do we add extra time? All my mind is spinning in all these directions. How do you see the process going forward of getting people caught up? Or do you just think the natural course of the next couple of years, people will just naturally catch up?
I think that each school district is going to be really different. And I think each, superintendent knows his administrative team and they know their teachers and they know their community. And so there will probably be some schools that have extended learning. So they might have, students that are most at risk coming back early, or extended school days. I think there are students who have special education needs who are going to need serious remediation. And I think that could be, that could happen through more intensive services for students. But, in Pennsylvania with 500 school districts, I think it's going to look different. Yeah. In every single school district.
No, you're right. Because, I remember, and maybe you can tell me what happened to this, but there was a piece of legislation, and I forget who it was that was proposing. I know it was one of the Republican representatives. I just don't remember his name, who proposed the idea of allowing parents to hold their kids back a year. And it wasn't because he cared about education. It was because, they had kids who were seniors who were basically going to miss their senior year so that they could go back and play football or basketball or whatever they wanted to do. And I don't know if that ever passed, but is there a possibility of going, I'm just not comfortable with my kid missing this year. We do want to hold them back. Or is that not something that would be something you'd suggest?
I think that's probably actually a proposal that's on the table in Harrisburg, and I think that that's a discussion that the state's going to have. That obviously creates a lot of new costs for school districts, so I would hope that if the state legislature, approves a plan where parents could have their kids repeat a year, that they would acknowledge that there would be huge costs for school districts to have, basically adding a grade onto their schools. And ensure that schools have adequate funding to meet the students' needs.
Yeah. See, for me, this is the reason I bring this up is, my thought is this is a good time for some radical change. Out of this crisis, we can have, some pretty, bold ideas if we're willing to move forward with them. I think 12 years isn't enough. I think at some point we need to start talking about how do we get kids into getting maybe associate's degrees or into technical colleges so that they get skills that take them on beyond what a 12-year high school degree is going to get them. And this would be a perfect time to say, we're gonna transition to that, to a 14-year plan to, to move people who want to, go college prep to take, those early, your core classes. If you want to go into a vo-tech course to where you get some specialized training, it seems like this would be that right time in my view.
Yeah, no, it would be the right time. And I also think it would be the right time to really invest in like career and technical education for students who, you know, maybe if they want to spend an extra year, maybe they can take that time and they felt like they couldn't fit in doing some career and technical education. But if they've got an extra year and they know they've got it, then they could actually have a little bit more time to explore what they might want to do before they leave school so that they have a better sense of what it is that they want to, you know, do for the rest of their lives that would be satisfying and fulfilling for them. So, you know, I hadn't thought about that, but, you know, I think there's a lot of wisdom in looking at it that way.
No, because I just think there's an opportunity to expand and make sure that that people get something out of this beyond what our generation or my generation anyway, you know, got out of our high school years. We could go and get a job and be fairly functional. In today's high-tech world where the jobs are much more specialized than they were when I was younger, I think we need that additional training and help. So last question I've got for you, because obviously the battle is going to be political and it's going to be, you know, in Harrisburg and in Washington to some extent. What are you suggesting people do?
So I think that we need to like keep an eye on lawmakers and know who your lawmaker is and know what your lawmaker is doing for schools. And the top priority for Pennsylvania this year has got to be cyber charter school funding reform, because these schools are drowning in money. The cyber charter schools have more, they got federal aid, you know, along with the CARES Act. Some of them took out PPP loans. They saw no decrease in their revenue from school districts. They don't get property taxes that bottomed out because of the economic downturn. They have so much money that they can't spend it. And it is just becoming like one cyber charter school, we just learned, spent $1,000 per student on advertising. Another cyber charter school has bought 106,000 square foot building. For what? I don't know, because it's a cyber charter school. I mean, these schools, it is too much for lawmakers to ignore that our tax dollars are being taken away from kids in classrooms who desperately need them and just being poured into cyber charter schools where, I mean, the waste, fraud, and abuse is massive, and half of Pennsylvania's cyber charter schools have never been audited by the state. So we don't even know what happens to these billions of dollars because the state hasn't bothered to audit them. So I think telling your state lawmaker, we need cyber charter funding reform and accountability. It has got to be at the top of the list, because we can't afford to just waste all of this education money in these schools any longer.
I'm right there with you. Right there with you. And also make sure you check out educationvoterspa.org. We'll get links out on how you can take a look at that and see the great work that Susan and her organization does. Susan, I appreciate you taking time for us. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Good talking with you. Susan Spick, Executive Director of Education Voters PA. Make sure you check out their website. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.